Hey everyone, today's episode is from a conversation I had with a former Playbook guest, Moiz Ali, the founder of Native. Moiz and I are going to teach you about how to pitch your idea and some lessons that Moiz has learned to be happy. Text me your biggest takeaway from today's episode and join my text community at 949-298-2905 and every Friday, free training, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Join me if you miss it on Spotify and email me at david@dmeltzer.com. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
You guys want a lesson in entrepreneurship? I have an incredible entrepreneur. There you go. Oh, is that some great
Evan, how are you?
I like the beard.
Thank you. Hard to like trim it with COVID going on. So I've just sort of let it grow a little bit.
That's okay. I'm at my beach house and I had to shave this morning and realized I only had the blade. So I gave it one.
Yeah, I know. I've done that many, many times.
Well, tell me, you know, you had a big exit and with Native, and I'd love to know, you know, a lot of people don't see beyond an end. They attach their emotions to an exit or an outcome, and then they find a void, a shortage, and sadness. And you, from the day that I met you, weren't that guy. And that really intrigued me, how you're able to really enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of your own potential. So what is that potential, and how have you been able to go past and stay motivated and inspired beyond a huge exit?
Yeah, great question. I think it's honestly surrounding myself with the right people, with family that really care about you, with other entrepreneurs that I've sort of invested time with and really enjoy watching the trajectory of their careers and helping them grow their businesses. And so I think the easiest way to like disconnect from your own business is to get involved with other people and with their businesses and to watch them and to help them and to learn from them. And so you know, there's been a bunch of businesses that I've invested time into, a bunch of businesses that I've invested money into. One of the companies that I invested in recently called Liquid IV just sold to Unilever. It was a phenomenal exit. And like, you know, the founder is this amazing guy. He's in his mid-20s. He's been working on this business for 8 years. He's incredibly humble. And so, you know, when you get to talk to people like that on a daily basis or a weekly basis, it really keeps you grounded and makes you realize, hey, my world isn't just my business. My world is the people that I surround myself with.
That's awesome. Yeah, I have sat down years ago and friends with the founder as well, Liquid IV. So that'll go on my long list of companies that I did not invest in that they're doing extremely well. One of the other things about you and I that we do share is skills, knowledge, and desire. We have eclectic backgrounds that, you know, if our parents, we would have told them, hey, this is what we're going to do and connect the dots backwards, they would have told us, you know, doctor, lawyer, or failure. You and I both have always focused in on improving our skills, understanding, like you just said, the knowledge of what we know, but also who we know, and then aligning that with our own personal desires, even though we were probably under, and I'm going to speak for you, a little bit of pressure, at least from our families and friends of what we should be doing. Can you help entrepreneurs understand how important it is to focus on your own skills and knowledge and desire and not vote for what other people want?
You know, I went to law school myself. I was a lawyer for 2.5 years and really liked it, but I'd be living a very different life and I think a less fulfilled life if I'd sort of taken the path that others had wanted me to take as opposed to the one that I wanted to take. And there's this amazing commencement address by Steve Jobs in 2005 at Stanford. If you haven't listened to it on YouTube, I encourage everyone to listen to it. And he always talks about connecting the dots. And he says, you can never connect the dots forward. Like, you're not going to know where your life ends up. But if you're not willing to take any risks, you're not going to enjoy that life. And it's easy to see how they connect backwards. And so he really encourages people to take risks. He talks about this one story where he was going to a business meeting one night. And he's like, you know what, if I die tomorrow, I really don't want to have gone to this meeting. I wish I'd spent the night with the person who ended up being his wife, Lorraine Powell Jobs. And so he turned his car around and he's like, you know what, I'm going to go to dinner with Lorraine Powell Jobs just in case I die tomorrow, because I want that to be the last thing that I do. And I'm going to enjoy tonight doing that way more than I would going to this meeting. And so you got to enjoy what you do, and you're going to live a long time, and you don't want to work the same monotonous job, you know, day in and day out for 40, 50 years. And so I think it's all about being comfortable with risk-taking and like sort of saying, hey, this is the life that I want for myself. And that may not be what my parents set out for me or what my friends have done, but it's the thing that's important for me. And I think you and I both have this experience, right? Like when you quit your first job as a lawyer, all of your other friends are sort of more successful than you are. They go on and they continue to graduate up that, career ladder, and they're making way more money than you are because you're trying to be an entrepreneur and start something new. And so it's really hard because they're like, oh, I just bought this new house. I'm going to go on this amazing vacation. I'm going to buy this new car. And you're like, well, I don't know when my next paycheck is going to come. So, you got to just have faith that the dots are going to connect themselves.
Yeah, that's cool. My experience is a little bit different in the fact that everyone told me not to take my first entrepreneurial job in sales. And then when I made, over $1 million in 9 months, they all wanted me to hire them. But the harder part for me was being an entrepreneur when I lost everything and I got the I told you so's, right?
Yeah.
Or even worse than I told you so's, I appreciated people that to my face, gave me the I told you so. It's the ones behind my back that were talking smack and making me feel, bad about myself. And then I realized, you know what? I'm gonna even, make them more jealous. I'm gonna make another $1 million with not within months, but within weeks to show them the power of what I've learned and how secure what I do is. I don't need licenses and regulations. I can work in any state, country, being an entrepreneur that I want. Unlike, as a lawyer, if I would have taken the bar and I decided to move to, Arizona, it would have been
Yeah.
major, right? I could go to Arizona tomorrow and start a business. No one's going to
Sure.
stop.
And I also think you graduated to the next level, David, which is you don't need validation from those people any longer. You're your own source of validation. If they're like, I told you so, no problem. That doesn't affect my doesn't affect own satisfaction based on ourselves and not external validation from the people that we went to, high school with.
And I think that's a really super a superpower of Gary, a lot of kids love him because he has that superpower of not giving a shit what other people think. But there is a blend of all these things that we're talking about. There's a blend of your skills, there's a blend of not caring, there's a blend of connecting the dots backwards and not going to a speech and going to dinner with. But in that blend is a prioritization of two things. One, the two realms that we live in, pragmatic and spiritual, what surrounds us and what surrounds us. And then this monetary and faith world. And I think it's important as two entrepreneurs that people, for whatever reason, look up to, that I blend it. I make decisions all the time. I'm not doing that because I'm going to go play football in the stand with my son. But I also at times go, you know what? I'm going to that meeting. I'm not going to go play football in the sand with my
Sure.
son. And
Sure,
so did
yeah.
Steve Jobs. So did Steve Jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, he said if you get up multiple times, like, every day you get up and you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, I hate my job. It's probably time to quit. It's not like you get up and you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to have fun today. I'm not going to do anything that I was supposed to do. Like, there is the sense of like responsibility to yourself and your financial future and your financial career and your family and providing for people and the responsibility to yourself and saying, you know what? I'm going to live for 50 more years. I don't want to just be a beast of burden that carries the weight and carries water so that other people have a happy life. I want that happy life as well. And how to strike the right balance, I think, is a constant battle that every entrepreneur struggles with. One of my favorite people to follow on Twitter, other than, or the favorite, one of my favorite people to listen to, other than you, David, a guy named Justin Kahn, who founded Twitch. And, he talks about how he started deriving satisfaction from himself and not from others. He founded a company that he sold for $1 billion to Amazon. And he sort of went through all of the same struggles that everyone else goes through, which is, I need to prove myself. I need to make money. I want to be happy. And then he's like, you know what? None of these things, like building businesses makes me happy, but like the act of building it makes me happy. I get my validation for myself. I need a work-life balance. He talks about giving up alcohol and meditating and keeping a 5-minute journal. And it really makes you realize that everyone goes through those problems. It's not like somebody has all of the answers and they've written them down. And Jeff Bezos has this amazing life. Everybody goes through those same problems because everybody's human.
Right. I portray it as there's the same percentage of suck in everyone's life. And
Yeah.
the real winners are the ones that can find the light, the love, and the lessons, that in the suck. So as you said, I get up today, like I never get up and feel like I don't want to do this because if I ever feel like I don't want to do something, then I search for the light, the love, and the lessons in it. And all of a sudden I want to do it. And if I can't find the light, the love, or the lessons in it, and that's my incapability, not the thing. Then I may decide not to do it until I can. that's the only distinguishing in that blend. It's like, you know what? I got to take the trash. No, I don't. I get to take the trash out. Why? Because now I got an extra 10 minutes to think about what I want, extra meditation time. You know, I can stretch. I'll take the trash out. My wife will see me. I have like these hip flexors. You get older, you get sitting man syndrome, right? So I do that hip flexor thing like this while I'm walking. My wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm finding the light. You told me to take the trash out. I'm finding the light in it because it's time for me. I can stretch some of my hip flexors while I'm doing it. And I don't care what anybody thinks of me. If they think I'm a peacock, so what?
That's a real superpower. You know, finding the joy in saying, hey, I'm going to take the trash out. What are the benefits that I can do right now? Like, what is the benefit of taking the trash out? I get to stretch. I get to get up. I spend 10 minutes by myself with my own thoughts. That's a real superpower you've got.
Yeah, and beyond that, it becomes a distinguished practice of how to vet what I'm doing, because, you know, some things I'm incapable of finding light, love, and lessons, including some relationships, and then I can determine, you know what, if I can't find the light, the love, and the lesson, maybe this is one that, like Steve Jobs, I'm not going to find the light, love, and lesson in speech, and I find so much light, love, and lessons in this woman, I think maybe I should turn around. Every once in a while, I do that. You know, I turn around and say no. But I'm getting the good thing about that superpower. I'm getting really good at it, so I can just really enjoy my life and feel so grateful and forgiving and accountable and inspired all through the day and even the night, which is what I'm trying to teach others to teach others to empower them, which is why I love having you on as well. You know, in your experience, you know, my goal is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. What are some of the lessons or one of the lessons that you can share with us to help people in your quest for just being plain happy?
Try and enjoy the little things in your life and like the people that you surround yourself with. I think everyone, you know, when I was growing my business, I feel like I fell into this trap where I was like, you know what, if I sell this business, I can be happy. I'm going to be able to buy a house. I'm going to be able to ensure that I can pay for my college, my kids' college tuition, all of those things. And it turned out that, like, you know, that financial satisfaction isn't what's going to make you happy. It's going to be the time that you spend with the people that you care about. And for me, when I look back about Native, I say the happiest moments were the times where I really got to spend time with the people that worked at Native, and we got to bond over something, and we talked about the business, and we fell in love with the business, and we cared about each other, and we, like, laughed with each other. And not necessarily the exit. I mean, don't get me wrong, the exit was fantastic, and I'm glad it happened, but that wasn't, like, the culmination. Like, when I look back on Native, the best part of it was the relationships that I formed, and not the exit, and not the sale. And so I hope people take a step back and sort of appreciate those relationships that they have. And they're proud of what they built. Like, I think a lot of people who are building businesses or entrepreneurs are sort of like, I need to work, I need to work, I need to make this thing bigger. And don't take a step back and they're like, you know what, I've satisfied so many people. David, you said that your goal is to empower 1 billion people. Let's say you've already done that with 100 million people. Like, what an insane, and like, you're 10% to your goal, which is still, like, you know, there's a lot of goal left, but 100 million people you've made happy. That's an absolutely fantastic thing. And I hope that you get to take a step back today and you sort of take pride in that, because not enough people are like, you know what I've accomplished has been fantastic.
Yeah, it means a lot to me. And I still, while you're talking, even get choked up, because it means that much to me beyond all the cool things that you and I have been able to do in our careers. To me, I know I'm on the right path because it hits me emotionally when you even say it. Like, whether it's 10 million or 100 million, you know, to me, it's, I think about, wow, when I was growing up, 5-year-old, just the fact that one person would be, their life would be better. And I'm sure you get those comments, you know, all weekend long, people call, text, email, DM me about something, someone I've never met, something I put up there that changed their entire life. And that's truly so meaningful. Last thing real quick, I have my new show, 2-Minute Drill, got picked up by Bloomberg. We'll be filming November, December, and January. It'll probably launch in January, they said. I'd love for you to give, number one, I'd love for you to be a guest judge. So let's have a conversation.
I love that, yeah, sure.
But I'm doing a training on pitching this Friday. So, you know, you've done a lot of pitches, but probably seen even more than you've done. Any advice for people that are pitching their business right now to raise money?
Yeah, you know, I really like watching Shark Tank. It's the thing that I do with my family. And you get good at seeing pitches as well on Shark Tank. I think the real thing is try and put yourself in the shoes of the person who's listening to the pitch and try and make it compelling to that person. Like, what are they interested in? What motivates them? I remember when we were actually trying to sell Native, you know, we talked to the Unilevers and P&Gs and private equities of the world. And in each instance, we were like, you know what? What's going to make Unilever be interested in this deal? Unilever is really good at selling things internationally. How about we focus on that? P&G is really good at bringing things in stores domestically. How about we focus on that? When we talk to private equity firms, we talk a lot more about financials. Try and put yourself in the shoes of other people who are who you're making the pitch to, and make things compelling to make arguments that are compelling to them. And each person might be specific, so you got to do your research.
That is awesome. Be more interested than interesting. One of the greatest entrepreneurs I know and friends, Moise. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks so much, David. Really appreciate it. Congratulations on Bloomberg. Talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-298-